This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please, to visit our websites. They are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. This is number two in the Addicted Society. We look around the world, now especially those of us who are in our senior years, we are aghast at what is happening and taking place. And yet in the process of time, this country has been brought down to a level of evil that is permeating the whole society and permeating the whole world and truly fulfills what Revelation 12:9 says, that Satan is deceiving the whole world. Now, let's come here to Proverbs 1, and I want to talk a little bit about what happens to a society and why it is so pervasive. Proverbs 1 and verse 20, wisdom cries without, she utters her voice in the street. Now, what does this mean? Wisdom cries out. What happens to a society when there is no wisdom? You can go back and you can read the history of America and how it was founded on biblical principles in the main. And yet the Achilles heel which killed the whole thing was Sunday. And you read what they were teaching concerning the rest of the commandments of God. They made people learn them. They taught children to learn them. And what happens when that takes place? What happens to a society when that takes place? Let's come here to Proverbs 14 and verse 38. Because see, God blesses anyone, whether in the letter of the law or the spirit of the law, obeys him. And we will see that God judges nations. And then we will see what happens to other people who go along and get along. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. But what happens to people, we'll see a little later, when they get along and go along and allow all of these things to take place. 34. Righteousness exalts a nation. And this is a truism. You take the commandments of God, which are righteousness, and you evaluate any nation or society. The closer they are to the laws of God and keeping them as the laws of the land, the greater the nation is, the more prosperous the nation is, the lower the crime rate, the lower the rate of infidelity and homosexuality, thievery, disobedience to parents, etc. They are all lower. And it is a society then that is what you would call righteous. And I'm sure there were times in American history when we came fairly close to that. Now notice the other half. And this is what's important concerning the book of Proverbs. Because you see, as we'll understand later, the only way to separate thinking, good thinking from stinking thinking, is to study the Proverbs. Because the Proverbs tell us right from wrong, good from evil, all the way through. Now it says the second half of this, but sin is a reproach to any people, and the margin says to nations. So when a nation comes to a point, when a nation comes to a point that it goes against God, that it goes against the truth of God, then they're going to find themselves in grave and terrible trouble. Let's come here to the book of Psalms, Psalm 7. And let's see what happens, because we are going to understand that this wickedness comes from the very leaders who are supposed to keep the nation righteous. Come to Psalm 7. Psalm 7 and verse 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. So there is a division. Even in the midst of all the things that are going on, God still can separate his people. For the righteous God tries the reins and the hearts. That's important that we understand. Every human being is being judged by God by their behavior. That's how he does it. Now, verse 11. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, let's come over here to Psalm 14. Psalm 14. And here's what's happened. When those who don't believe in God control education, government, law, then you have what we have in America today. And it all rests. There was quite a really good documentary on Fox News, and it was Church and State. And it showed how that this nation went down the tubes when the Supreme Court began getting rid of God. That's when it went down. Followed quickly on the heels, you see, because Satan has a plan. And when they had the Scopes trial to get rid of teaching of God in and about creation in the classroom, now they can't get rid of it. Parents cannot even have a four-paragraph intelligent design read to the students on the first day of biology class, only once. See, because the ones who have done this are those who cannot allow God in their thoughts. Question was asked. Recent poll says up to 94% of people believe in God. How is it that 6% can cause such distrust? Well, the truth is, the way they believe in God is far different from the way that God says they ought to believe in him. See? And always remember this. James says, you believe there's one God, you do well. The demons do and tremble. See? So, you know, how do you believe in God? See? It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. That's the difference. Now, Psalm 14, here's why. Because in that special that they ran, Church and State, I'm sure they're going to run it again probably on Sunday is when they ran it. It comes down where we are now that the atheists are really controlling everything that is done. And one of the most fatal judgments made was by Sandra Day O'Connor in the opinion that she wrote, which said that in the expression of religion, if it offends someone, it should not be allowed. And that's where we are on all of this, all the flap that's going on. But you see, there is a real spiritual warfare going on. All right, Psalm 14 and verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so what do? They get attractive, good-looking spokeswomen and men, with the exception of Newdow, and say, I don't believe in God and I'm normal. And so people being tolerant say, well, why should I be critical? And the reason they make that judgment is because they can't discern the difference between truth and error, and they cannot be willing to bring a judgment against someone attractive that is to bring a negative or condemning judgment against them. And Satan knows that. But God says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. Now God is seeing all of this going on. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now Jesus made a statement, and I'll bring a sermon on this a little bit later in relationship to the church, which is, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I don't think that was in reference to the world. That has got to be in reference to the church and what we are seeing more and more and more is that people want to bring the world into the church, and that's what they've done with Protestantism, and Protestantism is going down the tubes fast. And they want to compromise with the world. They want to get as close to the world as they can and still be accepted of God. Now, if that isn't pure Laodicean thinking, I don't know what is. But God says here, verse 3, they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon God? So that's what they're doing. Now, turn back just one page, Psalm 9. Psalm 9 and verse 17. Pick it up here in verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. Now we'll see what he's going to do here in just a little bit. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. And then there are a couple of Hebrew words there at the end of it. Then verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's what's happening. This nation is forgetting God. We will see that a little bit more here. Why is that? And how does it come to this? And where are we headed with it? Now let's understand what the warfare is. Come back here to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Ephesians 6. We're going to understand how this comes about. And we're going to see how it's taking place today, right in front of our eyes. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Well, let's go back to verse 10 because we need to also understand this and really realize, more importantly, how much we have to do this every day. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, that's the only sanity, that's the only way out. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because he is clever and slick and promotional, as I have read several excerpts, and I'll read some more out of the book, The Marketing of Evil by David Kupelian. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. What does that mean? Spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, that means we've already seen how it is with the Supreme Court. We've already seen how it is with religion. But let's look at something here that's important for us to understand and important for us to realize. What is taking place? Now, as we know about Babylon the Great, remember there is an economic aspect. Business and economy with Babylon the Great. There is religion, there is government, there is, on page 57, it's called A Quiet American Revolution. Okay, page 57. Common sense provides ample proof to a rational person that the First Amendment's religious clause couldn't mean what the ACLU and many of today's judges say it means, since there is simply no evidence of it in history. Anti-Christian Liberation Union. That's what it is. Let's come over here to page 58. We are deluding ourselves into believing that there is some neutral ground between good and evil. And this is why the book of Proverbs is so important to get straightened out in an addictive society. You have to have right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error. And that this is where the government is supposed to be. But such a neutral ground, if such could ever said to exist, is in itself neutral. Well, let's come over here to chapter 3. Chapter 3. The killer culture. Who's selling sex and rebellion to your children? Here's the aspect of it that has the stage has been set by the elimination of God and by the problems that we have in education. And it's coming right into the churches, as we'll see here in just a bit. Merchants of Cool, page 64. They want to be cool. They are impressionable and they have the cash. And we might put there, and very little, if any, parental supervision. They are corporate America's $150 billion dream. That's the opening statement in PBC's stunning 201 Frontline documentary, The Merchants of Cool, narrated by author and media critic Douglas Rushoff. What emerges in the following 60 minutes is a scandalous portrayal of how major corporations, now listen, Viacom, Disney, AOL, Time Warner, and others study Americans' children like laboratory rats in order to sell them billions of dollars in merchandise by tempting, degrading, and corrupting them. Think it's a bit of an overstatement? It's an understatement. And you can see what has happened. Now here's what the problem is. When we've got a few gigantic transnational corporations, each one loaded down with debt, competing madly for as much shelf space and brain space as they can take, they're going to do whatever they think works the fastest and with the most people, which means that they will drag standards down. And this is what has happened. It's a blizzard of brands all competing for the same kids. To win teens' loyalties, marketers believe they have to speak their language the best, so they study them carefully as an anthropologist would an exotic native culture. Today, Rush discloses five enormous corporations are responsible for selling nearly all of the youth culture. These are truly merchants of cool. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp. Though he owns Fox News, which you think most people do, is fair and balanced and good news, he also has a stake in MTV. Disney, Viacom, Universal, Vivendi, AOL, Time Warner. The documentary demonstrates how big corporations literally send spies to infiltrate young people's social settings to gather intelligence on what they can induce these children to buy next. Now, as I read this next, I want you to understand that today, the most dangerous thing you can allow your children to do is watch MTV. And the major sitcoms on the major television networks, NBC, ABC, CBS, UPS, and so forth. Now, another thing. These entertainment corporations, as we will see, control all the music that is put out. And music is the most devastating and most controlling factor that captures the mind of children. And they are designed to make them rebellious, turn them away from their parents, cause them to not believe in God, get them involved in sex and promiscuity and drugs as a normal behavior. Now, continuing what he writes here. The entertainment companies, which are a handful of massive conglomerates that own four of the five music companies that sell 90% of the music in the United States. Wonder why you can't get any good music anymore? That's why. These same companies also own all the film studios, all the major TV networks, all the television stations, pretty much in the largest 10 markets. They own all or part of every single commercial cable channel. And to show you how they make their money, they tie MTV together, they bunch it with four channels on the cable. And they have it like with Discovery or History, and they bunch it together and one more, I forget what the other is. And in order to get the ones you want, you have to buy MTV. So what they say, well, we can block it. Okay, then block it. But what happens? Even though it's blocked, when I pay my cable television bill, a certain portion goes to MTV. Here's what they do. They look at the teen market as part of the massive empire that they're colonizing. MTV, what about cable channel, that portion itself as champion of today's teens and preteens, champions of their music, their rebellious free spirit, and their genuine, if ever-changing, notions of what is cool. Whatever else MTV might be, at least it's interested in kids, right? Sure. Just like a lion is interested in the gazelle. Everything on MTV is a commercial. That's all that MTV is. Sometimes it's an explicit advertisement paid for by a company to sell a product. Sometimes it's going to be a video for a music company there to sell music. Sometimes it's going to be the set that is filled with trendy clothes and stuff there to sell a look that will include products on that set. Sometimes it will show about an upcoming movie paid for by the studio, though you don't know it, to hype a movie that's coming out from Hollywood. But everything's an infomercial, and there is no non-commercial part of MTV. That's what they're doing to the kids. So this is how they make the addicted society. Just like a drug pusher, they are standing on a corner giving out free drugs, and then come back and we'll give you some very cheap. And also the law is on the side of the kids, that parents can't keep control of what goes on in kids' rooms. So they lock themselves in there and they have their porn, they have their sex, they have their drugs, they have their MTV, they have their cell phones, they have all of this sort of thing. You know, as I said before, the generation that is now is the generation of Matthew 24, and it is building itself for a slaughter. You can understand why God is going to absolutely wipe the face of the earth, and why there are going to be dead bodies strewn from one end of the horizon to the other end of the horizon because of what this generation is doing right now. And we'll see how that happened before. Okay. For example, he talks about the midriff. You talk about teens running around showing their midriff. Where did it first start? And how did such a thing happen? It started on MTV. And now women are involved in it as well as teens, because it's the cool thing to do. Now let me read you about this one music group that is captivating everyone. See, they keep changing so they can captivate them. Isn't it interesting? Captivating. Now, if you are whatever you are captivated by, you are addicted. And if you're captivated by something, it occupies your mind. And whatever occupies your mind is what you are. Now, here's a new group out called Insane Clown Posse. That's a music group. Everybody likes our music because it makes them have a super connection. When they listen to it, the last sentence there, you feel like you're the only one that knows about it. That's on page 69. These are extremes to which teenagers are willing to go to ensure the authenticity of their scene. It's the front line of teen cultural resistance, become so crude, so intolerable, break so many rules that you become indigestible. Amazing, isn't it? No limits. That's where it's coming to. Everything. No limits on anything. Remember they kicked Howard Stern off one of the radio stations, fined them a great fine. So what did they do? Now they're going to have satellite radio on Sirius, which is the name of the channel. And he can say anything, do anything, and even Bill O'Reilly interviewed him on Fox News, and he virtually told Bill O'Reilly, I'm going to be gross, evil, and as pornographic as I can. And he said that at 5 years old, he had a dream that he would do this. Whose agent gave the dream? Now we're into no limits. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way they do. Guess what? Let's come over here to page 71. Those Hollywood depictions of Sodom and Gomorrah, which we'll talk about Sodom and Gomorrah here in just a minute, don't even begin to capture the shocking reality of what's going on in America's culture today. They're not even close. First of all, there's sex. Very simply, there seems to be neither boundaries nor taboos anymore when it comes to sex. Anything goes, from heterosexual, homosexual, bi, trans, poly, and you don't want to know about sexual experiments. It gets into bestiality and things like this on an open basis, and they cannot even convict people in the law of the land for bestiality anymore. Sex has become a ubiquitous, cheap, meaningless quest for ever greater thrills. Moreover, with the evolution of online pornography, every type of sexual experience has literally been shoved down the noses of millions of Americans against their will. I will have to say, with their will. Then it talks about body piercing, it talks about other things, it talks about, and then they get to the extremes. Those who are going out were called bug chasers, and what do? Those are young men seeking out other men who have HIV and AIDS to have sexual relations with them so they can receive the disease. Now let's come to Isaiah the 3rd chapter. Let's see who's to blame in this. Everyone is to blame. And then we will see what happens when everyone is to blame. One place there in Jeremiah, God said there is no truth. So when we get to the point that there is no longer any truth, then we are getting closer and closer and closer to it. See, now you understand why there's such abominable translations of the Bible out there to mock God, to mock the Word of God, to get rid of the Word of God. And in America, it all started when they did not keep the Sabbath with the rest of the Ten Commandments, that left the door open. Now, that may sound a little extreme, but that is true. Because you may know about God, you may have principles concerning the Word of God, which you live by, but you do not know God, and you are not sanctified by God unless you keep His Sabbath. He says so. Exodus 31. God says so. So here's what happens. Isaiah 3. And this is going to happen to us. For behold, let's begin right here in verse 1. The Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. Now, as we're reading this, let's understand that it did happen. When we're reading this, let's understand that these are part of the punishments that God brings because of sin. Notice who it affects. The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable men, the counselor and the cunning artifactor and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes and babes shall rule over them. And we're going to see they are corrupt. They are degenerate. They are satanic. And that's what's happening. And the people shall be oppressed. No, verse 4, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. You don't know who your neighbor is. You don't know what the kids are like. You try and be nice with them. And like happened in one case, a 10-year-old boy, and there was a 14-year-old boy and an 8-year-old girl. And she came over to their house, and they became friends. And then she went in the boy's bedroom, and lo and behold, he had his own computer with a big sign to the parents, "Keep out." And, of course, the court will uphold that as private property for the children against the parents. And he was involved in porn and all kinds of stuff, and he got involved with an 8-year-old girl, killed her, didn't know what to do with her, stuffed her body between the mattress and the box springs, and wasn't discovered until the body started stinking and they had to find out what was going on. You can't even trust your neighbor, just like it says here, oppressed. Now notice, the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient. Here just recently, a bus driver, because of the yakking of one children, put some tape over the mouth of the child to keep it quiet, and he was reprimanded and moved to a different job. And the base against the honorable. Then it's going to get so bad. Now come down here to verse 9. The show of their countenance does witness against them. They declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And that's exactly what it is in the society. Now here's one little verse, verse 10, to give you hope about your life. Say unto the righteous that it will be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings, that is, of righteousness and love and obedience toward God. Woe to the wicked, it will shall be evil with them, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. And we're going to see, whatever you are addicted to, you're going to receive. As for my people, children are their oppressors, women rule over them. Combined with women, and every writer, just as this writer here, The Marketing of Evil, shows that the degradation of the family began when women demanded equal rights. Now it has gone, and it was equal political rights. Then it became equal working rights. Then it became equal sexual rights. Then it became, we want all of men's rights as well as all women's rights, and men have none. And that's where we are. And notice, my people, O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. And it's been planned, calculated, inspired by Satan the devil and his Babylon corporations of the world. It is intended to get us addicted. It is intended to tear us down. It is intended to make the nation immoral and corrupt and debased. And according to the doctrine of Balaam, to sell them to sin so that God must judge them and destroy them. And yea, it is going to happen. Without a doubt. Verse 13, the Lord stands up to plead and stands to judge his people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people and the princes thereof, for they have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor in your houses. And it says, what mean you that beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, says the Lord of hosts. Then it talks about what the daughters of Zion do. And what they have done. And it's going to come just exactly as he says here. Moreover, verse 16, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, watch. All you have to do, when you go through the checkout stand, look at the haughty faces of all the women on these magazines designed to keep all women brainwashed into the foolishness of the feminist movement and promotion of homosexuality and lesbianism. And the fashion's designs. Now notice, are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks with wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, having ornaments and things like this. Therefore, The Lord will smite with the scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts and make them naked in public. And we go full circle to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, Lot should have moved. Look at how disjointed and dysfunctional his family was. When it came time to go, he told his sons they didn't want to go. They probably said, well, this is cool, you know. We understand this. We're not affected by it. We can keep it away from us. We're, you know, we'll be fine. And what happened? They died with it. They died with the destruction. And even Lot's wife didn't believe. She had to turn around and look when she was told, don't turn around and look. Turn to a pillar of salt. And even Josephus says that the tourists come and view that pillar of salt to this day. Amazing, isn't it? Let's see how God does this. Now, let's come back here to Jeremiah 18. I know we have seen this before, but let's look at it again. Jeremiah 18 and verse 7. Comment was made, and then Lot's daughters felt free to bless their own dad, and so we have Moab and Ammon. Amazing, isn't it? Verse 7. At what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto it. Or at what instant shall I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to build it, to plant it? If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And that's exactly what has happened here in America over the last 200 years. Now, verse 11. Now, therefore, go speak to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way. Make your ways and your doings good. So that's their responsibility. For any addict to say, oh, I'm helpless and can't stop it, you're kidding yourself. You don't want to change. And all the misery you go through hasn't convinced you you ought to change. It is your responsibility to change. And they said, there's no hope. We'll walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. And we're just about there again, aren't we? Yes, indeed. So God is going to judge, not only in individual lives. But you see, what happens when people get to this point? Instead of, as we started, there being wisdom in the street, and let's put it this way, you are under two authorities, authority of God or the authority of Satan. And if you put yourself under the authority of God, there's going to be wisdom. There's going to be a spirit of wisdom. So we're talking about the spirit that is permeated in a society because of righteousness or because of sin. Now, the more sin and the more people give themselves over to Satan, the more demons that are allowed to come to control. And so you have, as we read last week, the spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of addiction, rather than the spirit which comes from righteousness. So God's spirit is not devoid in the world. And where there is a group of people that do righteousness and do what God wants, they have a spirit of doing right. So when you have it permeating of evil, more and more evil comes, and more demons are let loose to control. I want you to think about, let's go back to some of the other things that I have given in the past years. When was the first parliament of religions of the world? 1893. When was the challenge concerning Sabbath and Sunday between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestants? 1893. So you reread Rome's challenge to the Protestants. And like I said, keeping Sunday was the key that opened the door to evil. Now, when they had this great witness in 1893 and they rejected it, when did we start coming apart as a nation? Right about that time. Step by step by step by step. Let's fast forward this and turn to the other side. Now let's continue on. Let's understand something as we're going here. That addiction, let's talk about how much it costs in America. Addictions. All kinds of addiction. And it's one of the most costliest public health problems in the United States. Well, it's very simple to solve. Quit promoting it. Now, Singapore has a policy. If you are caught with drugs, you're executed. That's it. No appeal, no nothing. If you're selling them, you're dead. That would end it. But people don't want to do it. See, one way or the other, if you're addicted to it, are you not the walking dead? So what is the difference if you're executed for doing it? Now, you might give them, those who are addicts, a chance to quit. But what it says here, addiction is the most costly of public health. Now, this is taken from addiction statistics. Unofficial summary that Ron Carey sent me from a compilation of various websites. It is a progressive syndrome, which means that it increases in severity over time unless it's treated. Do we have more drugs than ever before? Yes, indeed. Substance abuse is characterized by frequent relapse or return to the abused substance. Substance abusers often make repeated attempts to quit before they are successful, which is true. They go to rehab centers sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 times before they finally get a turnaround. In 1995, the economic cost of substance abuse in the United States exceeded $414 billion. Healthcare cost attributed to it, $114 billion. So you are dealing with over $500 billion a year. And then they list all the different addictions and the solution for them. Sexual addiction, gambling addiction, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, and the things that I mentioned, eating addiction, tobacco addiction, and tobacco addiction causes more sickness and disease than anything else. And what I've seen this, if you are an addict, you have to learn to quit being an addict instead of substituting one thing for your addiction. Alcoholics, when they go to AA, they have candy. And candy is only a substitute for the alcohol because what you're getting the carbohydrates from the sugar, which all alcohol is. Another one is smoking. Instead of taking cocaine or something like that, now you smoke. Instead of taking meth, now you smoke. and meth is the most destructive of all, and it stays in your system, it stays in your liver, and kicks out every once in a while when you are recovering, and makes you angst and angry and all of those sort of things. So you see, we'll talk about getting out of it a little later on, but what we need to do is realize how pervasive addiction is. See, all of these addictions change the chemistry of your brain. Comment was made that one person overcame alcohol addiction by becoming an ice cream addict and ate it by the gallons. Now, there's the eating addiction. I want to cover two things on eating addictions. Eating addictions come from several things. One, wrong eating, eating the wrong things. Number two, because you don't know what is nutritious and what is not. And because you are so concerned about your appearance, either too fat or too thin. So they have anorexia and bulimia and binging and all of those, and it affects 5 million American men and women. 15% of young women have substantially disordered attitudes toward eating and eating behaviors. Now let me mention this. Another addiction is diet soda addiction. You can always tell someone is addicted to a soda. Now, sodas are as bad as alcohol. Now, you can tell because they carry a bottle of soda with them, and they take the top off, and they take a little swig and nip on it, and they put the top back on and walk along and carry the bottle. Now, one thing about diet sodas. Aspartame, which is the major sweetener that is used, and some of these other substitute sweeteners are just as bad. But aspartame is a protein. And when it gets into the system, it causes a carbohydrate craving. Because your body is imbalanced without enough carbohydrates. So people believe that if they eat carbohydrates, those are low in fat, so they don't gain weight. But it causes them to gain even more weight, and those who are addicted to the diet sodas generally become obese over a period of time because of that. And so they get into the habit and pattern of drinking more diet sodas so they won't gain weight. So there are many, many, many different addictions. And you have prescription painkiller addictions and so forth. Now, and fat-free foods, one of the worst things you can have, and also you need to realize your body needs a certain amount of the right kinds of fat. Because your brain, another thing, your brain is made up mostly of fat and cholesterol anyway. Now, here's a whole, and it is a 31 page report that Ron Carey got me on pornography. Now, let's understand something that's important. I'll read some of these things in just a minute. There are two things that Satan wants to capture that you have and that you alone are responsible for. And those two things are, number one, your mind, and number two, your sex organs. If he can capture you on those two things, he's got you. This is why we covered last time, guard the door of your mind. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Now, let me just read some of the things that I have marked on the important problems of pornography, because we are under the spirit of whoredoms. We are under the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah. Internet pornography, 2.5 billion emails per day are pornographic. 34% of church-going women say they have intentionally visited porn websites online. 81 pastors surveyed, 74 men, 7 women. 98% were exposed to porn, 43% intentionally accessed a sexually explicit website. MSNBC ran a trap a chat room with kids where they made out as if they were a little kid looking for something online. And they had come to a home. I don't know if you saw it, but they'll probably repeat it, MSNBC. They had a Catholic priest, they had a banker, they had a rabbi, and all walks of life come in there. And one, they wanted to see how far this guy would go. So he said, oh yes, by the way, come into the garage, it will be open and undress. And then come into the house. And sure enough, he did. And then the next day, oh, he said, oh, I need help and all of this sort of thing. And then the next day, they trapped him again and said, well, meet me down at McDonald's. So he came down to McDonald's, hoping to get a pedophilia relationship with a kid. And they all said, oh, this is the first time I've ever done it. Okay? What's that old saying? Liar, liar, pants on fire? In 2004, there were 272 million pornographic web pages, 2.5 billion emails, which is 8% of all emails, 100,000 websites offering illegal child pornography, and 72 million worldwide visitors to pornographic websites. Yeah. Pornography and children. They even have front set up for kids to order little innocent things and then downloads pornography right in front of them. So you have to, you know, you have to be careful of that. 1 in 5 kids have been propositioned for cybernet sex. Pornography and cable television and videos. There are 800 million rentals each year of adult videos and DVDs. Cable companies brought in revenue of $177 million from sexually explicit pay-per-view programming. Americans spend $10 billion annually on pornography. 38% of adults believe it is morally acceptable to look at pictures of nudity or explicit sexual behavior. And they say there's nothing wrong with pornography. Now here's a section on teens and sex and sexually transmitted diseases. Now let's come here to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. This needs to be taught to every child beginning at 5 years old. Guard your mind and guard your pants. Now, let's talk about chapter 5, verse 1. Let's begin there. My son, attend to my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding, that you may regard discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. You've got to be taught. For the lips of a strange woman, or we can put man, or girl, or boy, drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Sounds good. Freedom. Oh, you can take a pill and not get pregnant. Oh, if you're pregnant, you don't even have to tell your folks, and you can have the school take you over there on school day and get an abortion. Isn't that wonderful? You've just destroyed your life. You see, because once you give up your mind and give up your sex organs to promiscuity, your life is never the same And I can tell you this right now, that most of the marital problems that people are having today, not in the church and in the church, are because of these kind of sexual behaviors when they were younger. And it still affects them to this day. Impress upon your children, you are dealing with the issues of life. That's what it says here in chapter 4 and verse 23. The issues of life, your health, your ability to think, to reason, to live, to work. But her end is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death and her steps take hold on hell. Lest you should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable. Going to change the tactics, but the end result is the same. That you cannot know them, and especially if you allow your children or your teenagers to watch MTV, get involved in all of these video games, and you do not know what they are doing or where they are going, because what we're going to see, that as it relates here, that they are so sexually active today, it's almost impossible to trust them, to leave them alone anywhere. And they demand their privacy. Not so they can study the Word of God, not so they can pray to God, but so that they can play together, male and female, male to male, female to female, and have promiscuous sex, and everything is all right, and you get home from work and you don't know what's going on. And today in this corrupt Sodom and Gomorrah society, even parents encourage their children to have sex at home. Now, here's the advice. We're going to see this again and again. The only way to not get caught up into it is to avoid it, period. Verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, you children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. Whatever the temptation is sexually, get away from it. You have no control if you stand there and are enticed in it. Come not near the door of her house, lest you give your honor unto others, and your years unto the cruel. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. Lest strangers be filled with your wealth, and your labors be in the house of a stranger, and you at the last, when your flesh and your body are consumed, and say, how I have hated instruction, and my heart has despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Now let's come over here to chapter 6. Let's read a little bit more. This is why the Proverbs are so important. And we're going to see there is no way that you can overcome any addiction of any kind that we have mentioned here if you give yourself one little degree of fudge factor. Now, what do I mean by that? Fudge factor, well, a little bit won't hurt. Or, well, I can get close to it, but it's not going to bother me. You cannot do that. You must get rid of it totally. See, because you either have to put yourself under the authority of God or you're under the authority of Satan, and there is no middle ground because Satan owns the middle ground. Let's come over here to chapter 6. Verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. This is why they wanted to get God out of the schools. And the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You can no longer discipline or correct children. That's cruel and unusual punishment. Now notice, if you don't do the right way, here's what it's to do. It is to arm you. It is to give you mental strength. It is to give you the ability to say no when you ought to say no, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in your heart. That's the whole heart and core of pornography, isn't it? Yes. And where would there be pornography if there were not women willing to do that? It's like when I went out the checkout stand. There are 30 magazines with the faces of women, various degrees of whoredom and slutism, and one muscle magazine for men. Now continuing verse 25, neither let her take you with her eyelids flashing, blah, 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 blah. And where do you see the first of that? On Disney cartoons. Yes, indeed. Verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for this precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes be not burned? You know, comment was made, look at how many teachers are seducing their male, the female teachers are seducing their male students. And men, the girls. And then to avoid prosecution here recently, they ran off to Georgia, a 15-year-old boy and a 34-year-old woman, and got married because it's legal to do so. And the way it's going today, what's the greatest percentage of ministers and priests that are involved in it? Well, the Catholic Church is notorious for what it's done. Okay, now verse 28. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her, shall not be innocent. Now then talks about those who steal compared to those who commit adultery. Now verse 32. But whosoever commits adultery with a woman is lacking understanding, and he does it to destroy his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. And how many churches has this kind of behavior destroyed? And they claim to be Christian, and we've seen it also in the Church of God, right? Yes. Now, let's talk about the dagger that goes through you. Let's talk about the two-edged sword that gets them. And Satan is interested in you from as young as he can get you. Teens and sex, sexually transmitted diseases. Approximately 19 million new cases of STD occurred in 2000. Now we're here at 2005. What is it now? 68% of teens are unconcerned about sexually transmitted diseases. 78% of new cases of genital herpes are caused by a virus found chiefly in the mouths of 16 to 21-year-olds. And you tie that in with all the oral sex that's going on. 65% of all sexually transmitted infections contracted by Americans in a single year will occur in people under age 24. Every day, 8,000 teenagers become infected by a sexually transmitted disease. A young mother today has had an average of 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases. Teens from communities of color are disproportionately affected by STDs because they are more sexually active. The only black leader willing to admit that, Bill Cosby. And he was caught with an illegitimate child. Young African-American women experience at least 14 times more the reported gonorrhea rates and about 6 times the chlamydia rate of young white women. Chlamydia rates among African-American men averages ages 15 to 24 are 12 times higher than rates among white males. And that is not discrimination. That is a statistical fact based on their behavior. And where is the worst AIDS and HIV? In Africa. The next, Southeast Asia. STD and HIV. In 2002, it was estimated that 3.2 million teens under the age of 15 were living with HIV. Although African Americans comprise only 13% of the U.S. population, it accounts for over 50% of new HIV diagnoses reported in 2002 and 49% of AIDS diagnoses in 2003. I have one solution, and this is not too radical, and it's not racist. Quit fooling around. If you don't get involved in illicit sex, you're not going to get sexual diseases. Period. It's that simple. Now, we'll talk about what God talks about next week on solving the problem. Now, there is a program even President Bush wants to sponsor and have more money. It's called abstinent programs. And guess what? Abstinent programs work. And guess what? Those who abstain do not get sexually transmitted diseases. Wonder of wonders. Teenage sex. 42% of guys and 33% of women averages ages 15 to 17 have had intercourse. In grades 7 to 12, 23.4% of first sexual relationship are one-night stands, and they go out to the dance or go to the football game or go to the basketball game. And, oh, Mom and Dad, you're such a prude. Why can't I be with my friends? Yes, and then there are the overnighters. 33% of guys and 23% of girls feel some or a lot of pressure to have sex. Why? Because they go to sex education classes. And guess what's on their minds when they're walking home from school? Just when their bodies are beginning to mature and the sex hormones are pouring through their systems and their parents are not home to watch them because the satanic system has it that they have to work in order to live. And so their lives become all messed up, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, every other use. Now let's talk about what's going on here with a lot of teens. Okay? In fact, 77% of teens, now I want you to think about that, they would 77% of teens would classify oral sex as sex, while 43% say oral sex is not seen as being a big deal as much as sexual intercourse. And where did they get that? It's a big enough problem without having the President of the United States saying that having oral sex is not sex. And now there is a plague of gonorrhea of the throat among teenagers. Now those things have to be, yes, 55% of teens 13 to 19 admitted to engaging in oral sex. Now, I tell you what I will do. I will have Ron Carey put this whole survey online for you, and you can download it from the website. 31 pages. I'll call them and have them do it because there's too much here. And this is a summary of hundreds and hundreds of magazines. And we are literally possessed with the spirit of addiction and whoredoms. And it's not going to get any better unless there is a great deal of repentance coming down the pike. You know, Dolores made a comment just yesterday. She said, what if we could resurrect George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, all the signers of the Constitution, and say, look at America.
They wouldn't believe.
No. They would say, it is fit for destruction. This is not what we intended. Well, let's come to Jeremiah 5, and let's see how this has happened through history over and over and over again. Jeremiah 5. We're living in a time very similar to what Jeremiah lived in, only on a greatly magnified basis worldwide. Verse 7, Jeremiah 5. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me, and have sworn by them that are not gods. When I fed them to the full, which we are, right? They then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlot houses. Any bar on Friday night, that's what it is. They were as fed horses in the morning, every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, says the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Not something? Come over here to Jeremiah 9. It got so bad. Now, Jeremiah had a very tough ministry. He had to stand alone, and he had to withstand everyone's hatred toward him. And in standing alone, here's how he felt. Verse 1, Jeremiah 9. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes were fountains of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like the bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. You tell them the truth and they get angry and mad. For they proceed from evil to evil, and this means, as it has been coined in today's terminology, the downwardness of making deviancy downward. In other words, taking away all laws against those kind of behaviors and making the perverted the norm. And they know me not, says the Lord. Take heed every one of his neighbor, and trust you not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and worry themselves to commit iniquity. Their habitation is in the midst of deceit, and through deceit they refuse to know me. Now here's the heart and core of the whole thing. Come over here to verse 13. And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but they have walked after the imagination of their heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink, and will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. Now, that gives us an obligation that we have to do, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here. Let's come to Isaiah 58, and we'll finish where we began. The 94% of the people say they believe in God, and this is depicted right here in Isaiah 58. Recently, the History Channel showed that in the Civil War, they had hordes of prostitutes following the army, and they actually had more deaths because of venereal disease, because of that, syphilis and gonorrhea, than they did of the men who were killed. They had over 300,000 die from venereal diseases. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Cry aloud and spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Not to be mealy-mouthed, not to compromise. You know, we need to ask ourselves a question. Now, if you, anyone is offended at what I've said on these two sermons, then you'll just have to be offended. Because you're offended at the word of the truth of God and the truth of the facts that are going on in the society around you. And we have a responsibility, not only to the church, but also to the people at large. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. So if 94% of the people believe in God, but we have this kind of behavior, what are we dealing with? Well, verse 2 tells us. Yet they seek me daily. They delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and that forsook not the ordinance of God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching to God, but they take no delight in doing what God wants them to do. Now, isn't it interesting? You read all the way through this 58th chapter, and what do? You come down here to verse 13. And it comes right back where I started, right? What did I say was the chink in the teachings of Christian America? Sunday keeping. So what does God say? Verse 13. If you will turn your foot away from my Sabbath, from doing my pleasure on my holy day, and it starts at sundown, doesn't it? How many crimes are committed on Friday night through Sabbath morning? How many adulteries? How many drunkennesses? How many addictions? How many sales of cocaine and illicit drugs take place on Friday night? And then they desecrate it with sports activities in the daytime all day on the Sabbath. And they don't know God. So God says the solution is start with the Sabbath. From doing your pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable and shall honor him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure nor speaking your own words. So you see, it has to begin with the Sabbath. So we're going to see some other things next time on how you stop becoming an addict. You've got to do it, and you've got to do it in no uncertain terms, regardless of what the addiction is. The Canadian office, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2, Australia, GPO 1574, Sydney, 2001. Auckland, New Zealand. Post Office Box 242, Waihai 2981. Nigeria. Post Office Box 1174, Uyo, that is UYO, 520001, Akwa, Imbom State, Nigeria, West Africa. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, CM81WZ. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Willor, WILRO, Park, Republic of South Africa, 1731.